Happy Saturday. I wanted to start this day happy as hell. It's a Saturday, weather's nice, and I'll be honest, I am doing half of that. Unfortunately, I'm not happy, but as a Nationals fan, it does feel like I'm in hell right now. If you're a Nationals fan, it does feel like you're in hell right now. Another disaster on Friday. And we're getting to the point where at some point, it's going to become totally and utterly soul-crushing. If you haven't reached that point, that threshold already. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day. You can hit me up on Twitter at TheDentonDay. We're live and local on 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on Team 980 as well. I couldn't believe what I was seeing last night against the Yankees. I had the memes ready. I had the tweets ready to mock the Yankees win with the Yankees lose, and I had to delete everything. Maybe I'll save it for later today, hoping, praying, that's the answer. But to see the way that they fell apart last night, which has been very consistent with every single other way that they've fallen apart this year, it's gut-wrenching, dude. It's gut-wrenching because you think about what this team is right now, and this is a really good baseball team that has really high-level potential because of what the ceiling is offensively. Long season, you know, after the All-Star break is going to be crucial. Last year we saw a little bit of guys take a dip in production last year, but optimistically, I think they're good enough on offense to even after the All-Star break still be able to play at a high level. And every single time they go to the bullpen, specifically at home, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. But like multiple times, you don't have any toes left at this point. Head-scratching decisions, angry at what we saw. The Nationals blew their 26th save yesterday against the Yankees. Jazz Chisholm hit a two-run homer in the top of the ninth inning. The Nats were up 3-2. That put the Yankees up 4-3. And at that point, it just felt, hey, this is over. Yeah, you're going to get a bottom of the ninth. There was another homer after the Chisholm homer to make it 5-3. You're going to get a bottom of the ninth. But it felt like when Chisholm hit that home run, this game was over. Pack it up. You are on to Saturday to see if you can rebound. The decision to go with Matt Crook is at its very best head scratching.
Blows my mind, dude.
Didn't make any sense. New to the organization. Hadn't seen much of him. In what she had seen of him at other organizations, wasn't exactly spectacular.
Barely, though. He's not a major league pitcher.
Like, at all.
I chuckled that he's up in the major leagues.
And for them to go with him in that decision, at that period in time, you're looking around, and I trust the baseball people in the operation, right? They moved on from guys that had done a lot of really good things in this city. With Rizzo, with Davey, guys that had brought this city a championship. We celebrated together in the streets. They moved on from them. They bring in a much younger operation. And largely, I think Butera has done a good job to this point. Given what the expectations were, in fact, I would say that he's done a borderline great job. But then you take that back a little bit because they should be significantly better than what they are right now. And they're still above 500. I mean, they are still like sitting there at the moment being like, all right, like there might be something here at the trade deadline to maybe see this season through and get themselves a wild card spot. But the thing that kind of makes you like collapse on yourself a little bit is we're sitting here in July talking about a baseball team that is above 500 with a realistic chance at qualifying for the wild card, something that we really haven't seen since the championship year, which I don't want to pain anybody. It's like 7 years ago. It's been a very, very long time since they've been playing high-level baseball to this point in the season. But we're sitting here having these conversations while all recognizing, and maybe somewhat ignoring the elephant in the room, but all recognizing if this bullpen was just competent. They're competing for the top of the division with Atlanta. I ran some numbers yesterday because I was angry. I was staying up late doing a show on Westwood One. So I'm crunching some numbers at like 2 a.m. And I'm trying to figure some things out. So the Nationals have blown 26 saves on the year. They've had 53 opportunities for a save. So 53 times this year, they have gone into the ninth inning with a lead that qualifies for them to have an opportunity for a save. That is the most in Major League Baseball. That's three more than Tampa Bay, who's done it 50 times, and the next closest drops all the way down to 44. So the Nationals have almost 10 more opportunities for a save than the third place team or the third most team in Major League Baseball. That's pretty substantial to this point in the season. They have blown 26 of them. So I crunched a little bit of numbers and I looked, all right, what does it mean to be competent? Like if we just go to not the average, so to speak, because the average can get convoluted with numbers. The Astros right now are a massive outlier. They're taking advantage of like 83% of save opportunities, which is not going to last for the entirety of the season.
They do have Josh Hader.
They do have Josh Hader. But that percentage, you know, I looked back at years last year and years prior. I went back to like 2022. And generally speaking, the best bullpens are saving about 72 to 73%. Percent of saves. The Nationals right now are just a hair over 50%. So like there's a big drop off between what you would consider to be a really good bullpen and whatever the Nationals are. So I went and I took the median. I was like, all right, let me split this in half. So I went and I took the median of percentage. What's the percentage of saves? And it's split right between the Cardinals, who have a 65% save percentage, and the Marlins, who have a 67% save percentage, makes my job easy. The median is right there at 66%. So if you take the Nationals and their 53 save opportunities and say they're converting on 66% of those, that takes it from 26 blown saves to 18 blown saves, which in turn is giving the Nationals, theoretically, an extra 8 wins. If you give the Nationals an extra 8 wins right now, they're 56-39. They are leading the NL East. And that's just with the median. Like, imagine what this team would look like if they had a really great bullpen. If they had a really great bullpen. If you're going to hit that 75% save percentage with what they would have right now, that would give them an extra 13 wins. They'd be tied with the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. Now, it's not as cut and dry as that. I recognize that. I'm doing very, very low-level mathematics because that's all my brain can quite honestly handle. But it emphasizes that if they can just make some adjustments, I'm not going to call them small, they'd be pretty massive, but if they can make some adjustments to the bullpen, offensively, they're good enough to not just be a playoff team, to not just be a team that sneaks into the wild card. They, through the first half of the season, have proven that they can be one of the teams that, at the very least, is competing in the postseason, that is competing for their division, a division that's been a pretty solid, you know, the Mets withstanding, but it's been a pretty solid division in Major League Baseball, which then you kind of turn to the organization at the top level, right? Like, you go above the manager, and you're going to the top level. Hey, guys, what are you going to do with the trade deadline? We've been having these discussions on these airwaves for the past couple of weeks. Are they going to buy? Are they going to sell? What is the mentality going to be? Because I think you could ask everybody in the organization, certainly ask everybody who's a fan of the team. I don't know that anyone realistically thought they would be as good as they are right now, at least offensively. I think you thought they were going to be good. I don't know that you thought they'd be one of the best offenses in Major League Baseball, which forces the hand a little bit, because if they can just go out there and get quality arms to put into their bullpen, then the second half of the season, there's a little bit of life. We're going to be playing real meaningful baseball into the month of August, and ideally, in a world that is perfect, into the month of September, so long as you get guys that you can trust, and so long as you don't sit here and crush the souls of all of us that are fans of the team. This is what Blake Butera said last night following the game. You'll notice the voice is not quite there. I don't know if that was a clubhouse thing after the game or if he was just yelling throughout the course of the game. Voice not entirely there, but here's what Blake Butera said about the decision-making process last night that ended up costing the Nationals the game against the Yankees.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering if that's the right thing to do or not. Whenever you lose and get beat that way, you definitely question what we're doing. sitting here talking with our group after the game tonight, like, we all believe the process was right and the outcome was not. We have four lefties in our bullpen because we expect them to do well against left-hand hitters and particularly against this group.
So to an extent, you can respect his explanation because there was one, right? So there's the extent. There's a, you want to be positive and say, Denton, you're just being so negative. Look at me. I'm being positive. I can respect the explanation because they have a process. Boom. Positive. Negative. Your process is only as good as your players. If you have guys who, in this instance, in Matt Crook, we don't fully know long term, can he go at this level? Putting him in that position against the New York Yankees is not a smart move. Looking at all of the numbers, putting him in that position and taking out Beeter, who had been pretty good against lefties, right? Like, I can understand you want a lefty versus a lefty. Totally get that. But if you're breaking things down into numbers, which I would consider factors into their process, he didn't share what their process was, but I would hope that the numbers factor into the process. I'm confused as to why that decision was made. I'm confused when they're mapping out what they are trying to do prior to the game, because this didn't strike me as like a flying by the seat of your pants decision. This felt like, hey, we have a plan going in to the ballgame, which is good. Here's what we want to do if we find ourselves in this scenario, in this situation. I just don't know why they went to the guy where they don't really know if he can go at the major league level. I can understand, hey, we just got him, let's see. But I would maybe wait to let's see to when you're not facing the Yankees. I'd maybe wait to the let's see portion of figuring out what this Crook kid is until you're playing a team that's significantly worse, that does not have big-time players the way that the Yankees do. It just really, really stinks, man. And it becomes hard to watch because you go into the ninth inning, specifically when they're at home, knowing, oh my God, here we go. They're going to get blitzed. They're going to get beat up. You don't believe me? I hope you're sitting down for these numbers. These are not going to be fun. Like I said, I wanted to be happy as hell. Instead, I'm just taking everybody to hell with us this morning because the Nationals in the ninth inning at home, which is 49 games, their ERA is 8.08. That's last in Major League Baseball. They have allowed 46 runs. That is last in Major League Baseball. They've allowed 14 homers. That is last in Major League Baseball. Are you sensing a theme? They've walked 30 guys. That's last in Major League Baseball. And they have an OPS of .988, which, you guessed it, is last in Major League Baseball. And these are the numbers at home. This is supposed to be your bread and butter. You're supposed to walk out there with the thrill of the crowd behind you, because as we have seen the season progress, it feels like the fan base is starting to come back. Because let's be honest, there have been a bunch of fans that left. It's been a very, very hard 7 years since they won a championship. So there have been some fans that retreated a little bit, and this city is so damn transient anyway. You get fans from all over the place. But it's felt like that they're starting to come back a little bit. Oh, wait, hold on. Baseball matters in D.C. again in July. Baseball matters potentially in D.C. in August. Ooh, I'm excited. I'm going to go to a Nats game. This feels like where you should be shredding everybody. And instead, you're the one on the receiving end of what Brandon Ayuk likes to call that belt. You're getting that belt from the opposition at home. It is miraculous that there's still a game above 500, which to me signifies it is time to go and buy. I don't want to ride this out. I certainly don't really want to sell right now. It's time to go out there and buy. You are good enough on offense to legitimately compete in the National League. All you have to do is not suck in the ninth inning. Pretty simple, pretty basic. Easier said than done, clearly. But pretty simple and pretty basic. It's time for the Nationals to go out there and really be aggressive. Let's see what it looks like to really be aggressive. And that's the subject of our conversation on the phones. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. How will you react if the Nationals do not buy at the deadline? Knowing everything that I told you, where if their bullpen is in the middle of Major League Baseball this year, they would have an extra potentially 7 to 8 wins, which would have them competing with Atlanta right now for the top of the NL East. How would you react as a fan if they do not buy at the deadline? 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well, at the Denton Day. We'll take some of your calls when we get back. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day with you on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980. You can tweet me at The Denton Day. The phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. The Nationals' offense is good enough for them to not just be a team that sneaks into the wild card in the NL. It's good enough for them to be considered one of the better teams come playoff time in the National League, but they need to bolster their bullpen. How would you feel if they do the opposite? We've had these conversations. Will they buy? Will they sell? If you're a fan of the team, what are you feeling like if they sell at the trade deadline? 800-636-1067. John is in D.C. John, you're on 106.7 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Honestly, I would be a little apoplectic if they were sellers at the deadline. It's been like 6 years since they were good. And we finally have the best offense in baseball. It kind of wasn't expected. And I don't know the exact salary cap we're sitting at, but it's got to be like $80 million and one of the lowest in the league. And there's a ton of room. The Lerners are one of the wealthiest families in baseball. And it would just be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's been rough. Well, I think it's like the most blown saves ever at this point in the season. So it's pretty tough to watch, but it's an incredible team. And, you know, it'd be really sad if we were sellers.
John, I appreciate it. I think you are correct. I would be very, very disappointed if they start selling at the deadline. They have what feels like a lightning in the bottle season. They have partaken in this rebuild for what feels like, as you mentioned, like 6 years, because they haven't really been good since the team won the World Series. And then they did kind of get screwed by COVID, didn't get to capitalize off of that financially because of the COVID shortened season. All of that is true, but they haven't been good since then. They have an offense that is good enough to put them as one of the best teams in the National League. And what is holding them back is the bullpen. They need to find somebody. Preferably multiple players. Because if you remember when they won the championship in 2019, they went out and they found some dudes to help them. Bullpen was fine, not great. Obviously, it was good enough to help them go from 19-31 to the position where they were competing. But they needed to go out there and get some help. Offensively, you have showcased to this point in the season that you are good enough. You just have to go out there and get some help. I would go so far as to say, if they don't go out there and buy at the deadline to bolster the bullpen, it's telling me internally they are questioning what is going on with the offense and that they might not believe that this is a long-term sustainable thing for the entirety of the season, because otherwise you wouldn't be wasting it. If you're looking at what's happened through the first half of the year and you're seeing C.J. Abrams play fantastic, you're seeing James Wood, who is robbed of an all-star starting position, become one of the best and most feared hitters in Major League Baseball. And you can just go up and down the lineup and say, we have guys that are performing at a really, really high level. Luis Garcia. I mean, the list is pretty fruitful of guys that are playing well this year. If they don't go out and buy at the deadline, that tells me that they're looking internally and saying, this is not going to last. that we are not going to make the decisions necessary because we don't think that the offensive stuff is going to last for the entirety of the season, which would suck. It would not be a great message that is sent to us as the fans. 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well. How would you feel if the Nationals do not buy at the deadline? If they start selling at the deadline, despite how good they are on offense, how would you feel? 800-636-1067. Roger is in Virginia. Roger, you're on 1067 The Fan. How are you?
You struck a nerve, which in your business is something that I think that you try to do. And, I was driving around and I was like, oh, my God, I've got so many things to say. First last night, they bring in the guy in the ninth who had given up 22 runs in 12 innings.
Not good.
And he's your closer in the ninth. And when it comes to all this, buy or sell, BS, everything that you've said so far is on point, from the standpoint of, the offense being, so high up in so many categories, first or second, and then the bullpen being at the very, very bottom in so many categories. It's a pretty easy to not be three or four games out of a wild card, but to be contending for the division right now. A famous person once said, the future is now, and I think it applies here. We act like we're gonna wait around for two or three years. We're gonna stick with this program, whatever it is, as if everyone else in the league or the division isn't gonna be doing the same thing.
Right.
So we're good enough right now.
Roger, I appreciate the call. Your phone's breaking up a little bit, so we'll let you go. But I think that's a really good point that you made at the tail end there that I'm going to double down on. Sticking to your process, in theory, is a really great decision because it's not a bad thing to have a plan. But you have to be under the understanding that everybody else is doing that too. So if you are ahead right now of the process, which it feels like they are, again, I don't really believe that they thought internally they were going to be this good offensively. I think they thought they would be good. I mean, you have a guy like James Wood, you have a guy like C.J. Abrams, like you have guys that you knew were going to be good. I don't think they believe that they were going to be this good for this extended amount of period in the beginning portion of the regular season. But this is the sign, or this is kind of where we learn what the front office is about here. How do you respond when you are ahead of schedule?
You think that the ownership was waiting for the team to get worse in the offense? I mean, because look at the names on the team. It's not Tatis or Mookie Betts. It's Keibert Ruiz, and he's performing along with everyone else. You think that the learners were waiting to be sellers?
I kind of do, because that seems to be – they haven't spent what I would consider – to be winning money in almost a decade.
Since Strasburg.
And maybe there is a little bit of PTSD because the Strasburg thing went super sideways super quickly. I don't necessarily know if spending that money instead on Rendon would have been better, because that went super sideways super quickly in Los Angeles. So I guess to their credit, it's not like they had a bunch of great decisions, though you never know if Rendon stays here and he gets that money. Maybe it's just different. But they haven't spent winning money in almost 10 years. We are still spending our money as fans, especially now where if you are someone that has YouTube TV, you have to spend extra money on top of YouTube TV to watch the Nationals, because they do not currently have a deal in place for their games to be on YouTube TV unless they are nationally televised, which they just don't play a ton of nationally televised games this year. So you have to spend extra money to watch the team, and the ownership is not spending the money. And if you have the money to spend and your team right now is good and you're kind of capitalizing, it's a similar philosophy, it feels like, in the NFL. We've talked about this with Jaden Daniels, right? You want to capitalize on when you're not spending him franchise-changing quarterback money, which will eventually happen. He's on that rookie deal. This would be the time to spend now. You have guys on your roster that are far and above excelling or exceeding what they are being paid production-wise. This is the time to go out there and spend some money on pitchers, specifically in the bullpen. If you want to go get another starter, go get another starter too. I'm certainly, you can get a lot of different pitchers, right? Like, I'm not just holding you to exclusively bullpen guys. If you want to go get more starters that you think are going to help you, go do that too. Pitching helps you win. That's really what stood out in 2019, right? You had so many good pitchers. Pitching helps you win. It's time for the learners who have been doing this for a while. You got us a championship in 19. We're always going to love you for that one. Please start spending winning money again. And I think they need to start buying at the deadline. What do you say? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We got a line open for you. How would you feel if the Nationals sell at the deadline rather than buying? Your calls when we get back. It's D-Day, Denton Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. D-Day in D.C., Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan, at The Denton Day on Twitter. We're reacting to the disaster last night for Washington, the Nationals. Their 26th blown save of the season against the Yankees due to the decision-making that sent Matt Crook out there in the ninth inning, who, to this point in his career, has really not shown that he is a major league level pitcher, but he has certainly not shown that he is a guy that should be closing a game out, attempting to hold on to a lead against the New York Yankees. His ERA for the season is 17. Not very good. You don't love those numbers at all. They put him out there, and it signified to me, it is time to go get help. It's time to go and make some calls and say, we need to bolster up our bullpen. We cannot let this season go to waste. We cannot waste one of the best offenses in Major League Baseball right now because we cannot put together a realistic and competitive group of pitchers in our bullpen. We don't have a closer right now. I mean, who's the closer for the Nationals? Go get one is the answer. And don't be afraid to spend a little bit of money to go and get them. You got to spend money to win. That's baseball 101. You've got to spend money to win. I don't need the learners to become the Dodgers all of a sudden. In fact, realistically, they will never become that. But spend money, spend enough money to make your team competitive and to take advantage of the season. How would you feel if they do the opposite?
The
if
White
they
Sox spent money.
The White Sox spent money. Exactly. Like the White Sox are like a good team to watch.
$21.5 million on their bullpen. Sir Anthony Dominguez makes $10 million. You got Sean Newcomb, who would be the best pitcher on the Nationals, making $4.5 million. Anthony Kaye making $6 million. There's nothing even remotely close to that is Washington doing.
And there's no reason why they shouldn't be. So how would you feel if they do the opposite and they start selling? 800-636-1067. You can tweet me at The Denton Day. Paula is in Maryland. Paula, you're on 106.7 The Fan. How are you?
How are you? I'm very despondent after last night's loss. And I'm a first-time caller, and I have been a loyal since 2005 season ticket holder. And I need to beg every fan who loves baseball as much as I do, who watches every single night or listens to the game on 106.7, and beg them to tell Mr. Lerner he has got to bolster our bullpen to help everyone on the offense.
Paula, I appreciate the call. I agree with you. I'm right there with you. The Lerners need to spend the money that is necessary to, at the very least, make the remainder of the summer fun in the city. I mean, if you remember back in 2019, when the team was, they were competing for the postseason spot that they ultimately grabbed to then go and win the championship. Do you remember how fun that was? People were outside, you're going to games, you're loving it. The summer was awesome because baseball was competitive. in the city. And then on top of it, not only was it competitive, but they were winning, right? Like, you can be competitive and lose. They were competitive and they were winning, and then they take a playoff spot, they go on and they win a championship. Every single season, this is real, by the way, every single season before the season starts, there's like a 13-minute compilation on YouTube that was put together. It's called Finish the Fight, and it details that season. Every single season before the year starts, without fail, I watch it just to get that little hit back of what that felt like. Now, I don't know if they buy at the deadline it's going to feel exactly like that. And, you know, different team, it's been almost 10 years, it's going to feel a little different. But if you could just capture just a little bit of that feeling of what that was when it felt like the city was on fire for baseball, that's a massive win for the city and the community that you are plugged into if you are the Learners, if they care about that sort of thing. So I need them to buy at the deadline. 800-636-1067. Sam is in Virginia. Sam, you're on 106.7 The Fan. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I've been better, but I'm feeling all right.
I think everybody that's calling is too short-sighted and desperate because of the way that offense has been going this year. I think the Learners and the front office are going to be selling. They may buy one or two relievers, but it's not going to be a lot of money. But in the long run, they're going to be selling to build for the future, even though they have a good, solid base right now. But I feel they're going to be selling.
Sam, I appreciate it. I would respond with the future is now. Dude, they've been doing this rebuild thing for almost a decade.
You have been given a gift with the way this offense is performing, and you're going to let it waste because you want to build for the future? Are you kidding me?
You can build for the future before the future comes. And like, the future is here, because what's going to happen is if they continue to build for the future, they're ripping down the rebuild again, right? So they've done this portion of the rebuild that started largely when they traded Juan Soto. And a part of that was Mackenzie Gore, who they have obviously moved on from. But the offense since then, this is the best the offense has been, you know, since in a very, very long time. It's one of the best offenses in Major League Baseball. I don't think that wanting the team to capitalize off of that is miraculously short-sighted. I just don't.
And Robert Hassel as well has been DFA'd. He was in the Soto deal, and he's gone.
Is there a long-term plan? Of course there is. But I don't think it is a bad thing to realize when you are ahead of schedule and then adjust. In fact, I think it might be worse to just completely throw that to the side and be a little too hard-headed and say, well, we're just gonna keep with our plan. To hell with what's going on this year. We don't really care about this year. We're just going to keep to the plan. When you are good enough to be competing in the National League, which the numbers suggest, if your bullpen is what you would consider to be competent, which right now they're not, their save percentage right now is just a hair under 50%. If you are in the middle of Major League Baseball right now, that would put you at a 66% save percentage for the season. If the Nationals currently had a 66% save percentage, considering the 53 save opportunities that they have had this year, they would be a game and a half over the Atlanta Braves and leading the NL East. If you had a good, that's just competent. That's middle of the pack in Major League Baseball.
Just be mid bullpen.
Just mid, and you're knocking on the door of 60 wins prior to the All-Star game. If you were great, you already have 60 wins, and you're right up there with the Dodgers.
And you got to realize, if you look at the standings and look at the wins that the whole entire league has, it's a very bad year. You have almost the entire league is in contention at this point in the season.
It almost feels like Major League Baseball is gifting. It's like, I don't know if it's karma, I don't know if it's a baseball divinity, whatever it is, but it's like they're teasing the Learners. They're saying, hey, your offense is so good. Everybody else across Major League Baseball right now, it's kind of a down year. It is open as open can be in the National League. All you have to do is do what you haven't done in nearly a decade, which is just spend a little bit of money. I'm not asking them to like write the biggest, most massive checks in the world. Just spend a little bit of money to bolster the bullpen up and make your team competent.
There's three teams, the Mets, Giants, and Rockies, that are more than 10 games behind in the wild card. And the Nationals, they have to take this opportunity. No more for the future. Are you kidding me?
You have to strike while the iron is hot. We'll continue to take some of your calls, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Should the Nationals buy, what would your reaction be if they sell? Your calls when we get back. It's D-Day, Denton Day, in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980. We're available on the free and live Odyssey app. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. A lot of really good discussion on what the Nationals should do at the trade deadline. They had their 26th blown save of the season last night against the New York Yankees, which is a number that leads Major League Baseball. It is totally and utterly unacceptable. They've had 53 opportunities for a save. They've blown 26 of them. If you cut that number even just a little bit, they're competing with the Atlanta Braves in the NL East. So they're still above 500, which is great, but that leads me to believe that they have to buy at the deadline to take advantage of what this season is, this lightning in a bottle where the offense has been as good as it's been. And I'm hoping, I don't know this one for sure, but I'm hoping it is sustainable, right? We know baseball's a long season, 162 games. There's going to be some periods where offensively the team struggles. That's going to happen. We just know that. We know that. It's about getting out of those. But I do feel like they're set up to be able to withhold at least some of their offensive production at a high level for the entirety of the season. I believe that they need to buy. What do you think? 800-636-1067. Brian is in Maryland. Brian, you're on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'll be livid if they sell. And the reason is we have six top 100 prospects in our organization. Four of them are middle infielders. At what point in time is like, you have, how many prospects do you need? Why do we want to bottleneck our farm system? When we traded Soto, it was a move that we had to be done. The team wasn't winning, and our farm system was completely depleted. If our mentality is that one of our prospects is going to be the next C.J. Abrams, I don't even understand why we need to think that. We already have C.J. Abrams. Why do we need to get rid of what we're hoping that our next prospects will aspire to? I mean, it's just, like you said before, constantly hitting the reset button is eventually you're going to hit a point in time where the reset isn't going to work out, and then you're going to think, why didn't we capitalize on that time? I mean, our entire roster is young. There's no money attached to our major league team. We have a farm system that's completely loaded. Now is the time to strike. Now.
Brian, I'm in 100% agreeance with you. To make it even a closer-to-home metaphor, do you want to strike out swinging, do you want to strike out looking? If you strike out swinging, if you buy at the deadline because you're under the belief of, hey, our offense is so good, we really believe in what we have here. We have one of the best and most feared hitters in the National League in James Wood. We have guys that are playing at exceptionally high levels right now. If you decide to buy and it misses, hey, at the very least, for the first time in nearly a decade, you were aiming for competitive baseball. If you do the opposite and you sell and say, well, we don't think this offense is sustainable, you know, this is our process. This is our plan. We're going to go back to the beginning of this thing, rip it down from the studs again. Then as a fan, you're looking around, arms up, being like, what am I supposed to be invested in at this point? And I'm not saying you should pander exclusively to fans, like let the people that you hire do their job. But I would also like them to realize what they have right now. And a great, what I would consider to be a great example of this, if you remember when Bryce Harper was here, Bryce Harper was playing really, really well, but you'd always hear talk about the farm system. And in that farm system was Victor Robles. And you talk to people around the market, the team, you say, well, you know, Bryce Harper's really, really good, but just wait until Victor Robles gets up here. You know, this team's going to be so different when Victor Robles gets up here. He's such a good prospect. He's top of Major League Baseball in terms of prospects. Like, he was really lifting the ranking of the farm system. Just wait until Victor Robles gets up here. And to the credit of Victor Robles, he was an important part of the championship team. He got up here, he played good baseball, but he never necessarily became the guy that you felt like was worthy to have all of these high-level conversations of like, just wait till he gets up here. Oh my God, it's going to be so different when he gets up here. He was a good player that ultimately doesn't play here anymore. He was a part of the championship team, which we will forever be grateful for that. I mean, he caught the final out of the NLCS to send Washington to the World Series. Like, we have fond memories of him, but he never necessarily became the guy that you felt like they were setting him up to be. So I say all that to say, while you might have a lot of really, really good prospects in your farm system right now, or guys that you think can end up being really, really good, you also have really, really good players right now. And you got to strike while the iron's hot. You got to capture the lightning in the bottle. You have done the work to set yourself up to be competitive this year. All you have to do is fix the bullpen. Why would you stick your head in the sand and do anything other? Why would you then, oh, we're going to restart the process. We're gonna sell some of these dudes. Hey, you know, Ruiz, he gone. Garcia, maybe he has a market for him. We're going to sell these dudes, and we're just going to start this thing over again. That, to me, doesn't make sense. And in a sense, it would almost be like, maybe they're not spitting in our face, but it would feel like that's ownership kind of looking at us and maybe flipping us the bird, being like, you guys can just shut up over there.
You've had one of the best turns from a catcher in Keibert Ruiz in the history of this franchise. This is a guy who had a sub-600 OPS, and now he's almost at 800 OPS. Talk about lightning in a bottle. Luis Garcia, you mentioned as well. There's no time that you have to waste anymore. I mean,
you got to take advantage.
Because who says next year that these guys are going to be good?
Yeah, you have no idea.
You don't know. You're lucky right now.
You have no idea. I mean, I remember, so like, after the championship season, right? Remember, they brought back Howie Kendrick. And Howie Kendrick was so good in the run, the foul pole, the grand slam against the Dodgers. He was so, so good. They brought him back. He was up there in age that next year. Now, of course, that was the COVID year. Like, there were a lot of reasons as to why that didn't work. But he was never that exact player that he was in the championship season. So some of these guys that historically might not or have not had the level of success that they have, I would say Abrams and James Wood are outliers. This is James Wood. I mean, honestly, he's only going to get better at this point. But you got to take advantage of the lightning in a bottle. You have guys that are playing at a high level right now. Go out there, get a pitcher or three to bolster up the bullpen, to bolster up the rotation, get some guys healthy. Josiah Gray is back on the mound in the minors coming up here, so that's positive. But go get some arms that can turn your bullpen from one of the worst in MLB to at least just in the middle of the pack. I'm not asking for greatness here, all right? That's way too much of an ask. I'm just asking to not make it dreadful when you see a guy coming in the ninth inning at home because you know it's not going to go well. Phone lines lit up. I'm coming your way. This is a very easy topic. Should the Nationals buy? Should the Nationals sell? 800-636-1067. We got a line open for you. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. What do you expect the Nationals to do with the trade deadline? More your calls when we get back. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan.